Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on April 22, 2020. You know, me and Jerry were out at the street protests, demonstrations to reopen business in the United States.
Yeah.
And what? Yeah. It was fun, eh? With all the beer and stuff. Anyway, one woman there, she was being interviewed by a journalist, and she said that she and her daughter are not afraid to mix with other people because a higher power is protecting them, okay? And I was thinking, man, I would hire someone like that in a second to be my business development person, because no matter how many calls didn't work out, you know, people slammed the phone down on her, she would still be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, I thought, man, that's a hire. That's a good sign. But then I had a conversation with my cousin, and he said, no. He said, no. He said, those middle-aged people who have no fear of the disease, they're just do-nothings who feel entitled to the kind of special treatment they've always had because of their privilege. And I said, are you sure it isn't because in their entire lives they've never had anything like this happened and they're just not used to it? Isn't that a more reasonable explanation? He said, no, it's privilege. Marginalized people have never felt like that. I said, what about here in Canada? Don't worry, everybody. I won't go on too long. I said, middle-aged people are no different. I said, and we have socialized health care. Everybody gets the same. Doesn't cost them anything. I said, where's the privilege in that? Okay? Well, he was going to answer me, but luckily the Zoom session, we were on free, it ended right then because he was getting pretty passionate about his ideas. And I would still hire someone who ignores all the negatives and still thinks she has providence on her side, right? Now, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Recruiting Animal. Let's have a big hand for Jerry. Thank you, Jer. So inspiring every week. Okay.
You are more than welcome.
Okay, and I want to thank our sponsors, HireTual, HireTual.com, the super-duper sourcing tool that everybody is raving about, PCRecruiter.net, the recruiting software that is totally customizable. It's good for every kind of recruiting, and Honeit, HoneiT.com, the online interview recording technology. It's got voice recording, it's got video recording, it's got text transcript clips, okay? So don't forget that. I'd like to introduce, let me see if the guest showed up. Anthony Caputi, are you here?
I am here.
Wow. Hold on.
The guy wasn't here. What does that say about you?
I am here.
Oh, my goodness. No, I've already posted some pretty nasty stuff here. Let me go out and delete all this real quick. Don't anybody look at the internet right now. Just don't look.
Okay, good. We're good.
Okay.
Hey, welcome.
His Twitter is Anthony Caputi, at ANTHONYCAPUTI, Anthony Caputi, and he is a sales recruiter. Am I right about that, Anthony?
That's right.
Okay. You specialize in sales. Do you have a swear jar in your office where you put quarter every time you swear?
I do not have a swear jar. Would you like
do
me
you,
to put
do
one?
You, Do you swear in the office?
Yes.
Do you swear?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, when?
No.
I've never actually tracked it. I guess if I had a swear jar, I'd probably start tracking it.
Okay, but do you, like, when you're talking to a candidate, I mean, will you swear, like, in emphasis when something, you know, bad happens or something? Will you say something using a strong language to a candidate?
You never know what direction this show is going to take. So I have used swear words on calls with candidates. Usually, if the relationship, if I've, it's not the first conversation with them, if it's somebody that I know pretty well, and for some reason it fits the moment of the conversation, but not out of anger, if that's what you're asking.
No, no, I didn't suggest
I've never
it. No, no, I didn't
out,
say
I've
that
never
you're swearing.
Out a, yeah, yeah.
You're not swearing at the candidate.
No,
you're just
no.
making an explanation. And you go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Buffalo, which is
uh-huh.
close to Canada, and yeah. you know that's commonly part of vernacular in Buffalo is you know the occasional swear word. So sometimes when I'm in a very natural state, then some words will come out of my mouth that I probably wouldn't have used in church.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that? Anybody else swear on the phone with their trusted candidates or clients?
Well, I try not to fucking do that to me.
Yeah. Phil, is that Phil Marks in England? Are you saying
yeah.
you don't swear?
No, but you know what? If I speak to somebody who's really going swearing heavily and you know,
I thought you English people, I thought they're terrible. I mean. Really, I thought you guys are the worst, okay? You use really vulgar language at the drop of a hat. Am I wrong about that?
Some people do. We have a lot of different, you know, a lot of different type of people over here.
Okay, here's something I was talking about with Jerry, okay? There are some, I'm going to quote some what someone said, okay? There are some punks out there, punks, and they're saying that this is Anthony. Are you listening? Because you're going to have to answer
I am.
This.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hang up.
Yep. That they're saying that recruiters who are looking for work from now are just transactional, lazy bottom feeders who were only able to keep jobs because you know the economy was a hothouse. They were just riding the waves. Okay. Do you agree with that?
No. So. I'm going to elaborate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't know who wrote that, and it sounds like they have some problems, some issues, and it sounds like they're depressed about something.
Wait a minute. Point of reference.
The
person who wrote that was referencing other people who said that. The person was just a reporter.
Oh,
a third party, not involved in
okay.
the crime.
All right. Yeah. So even more, we should even spend more time on this. Yeah. Let's just move on.
Okay. You don't
like
that one.
Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares
okay.
what that person
okay.
thinks?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote an article advising recruiters what to do. Yeah. I'll keep moving faster. Sometimes I just go where I shouldn't. Okay. You wrote an article on LinkedIn advising recruiters what to do when this slowdown or whatever you want to call it, shutdown, is over. Are you suggesting that the worst of the slowdown is over, which some people are saying?
So I think you're referencing an article I wrote a couple weeks ago, which was addressing hiring managers, not recruiters. And to answer your question right now, I don't know where we are. I had an
okay,
offer.
Okay, but you wrote an article. Don't fault me because it was 2 weeks ago. So what? Okay, and you said, look, this is going to end, and there's going to be a lot of hiring done. And
sure.
Anybody, hiring manager, recruiter, your advice was to cut down the time of hire. Absolutely essential so you don't lose good people during this hiring frenzy. Am I right about that or not? And don't
you
tell
are,
me I'm
you,
wrong.
Animal, you are right. I did write that, and the strategy stays the same whether or not this continues for 30 days or 90 days.
Anybody want to comment? I mean, I'm not. You know, this guy was on before. He was hysterically funny. I was surprised he was so witty. I don't have. I'm not getting the same response, and I know it's my fault.
Yeah, he's missing that. No, he's missing that spark this time. Maybe it's the questions you're asking.
Yeah. Look, is that Kathy making those noises? Kathy.
Yes.
It could be. Do you want me to mute?
Okay, hold on. I want to talk to Kathy before I put her on mute. Kathy told me this week that when she came out of her three-month coma, the first thing she wanted to do was call into the Recruiting Animal Show, but she couldn't remember the number. It was erased from her hard drive. Is that right, Kathy? And people said I wasn't telling the truth when I related that, but go
ahead.
That
is the absolute truth. I was waking up from my coma, and I was thinking, I've got to call the Animal Show. I've got to call the Animal Show. And I swear to God, it was like taunting me. And then my phone got lost, so it's not like I could even look up your number, and I didn't have a laptop that worked or anything. So I think the first week I got home, I called into the show, and you were the first call I made.
Wow. And the thing is, you must have gone into that coma early on a Wednesday morning. Okay. And when you woke up, it was still Wednesday, right?
That's
in your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I had missed two birthdays, my anniversary, New Year's, Christmas. I mean, you name it. I missed the holiday, and I woke up, and it was like 3 or 4 months later. It's like, what the hell?
Okay.
I need to talk
enough
to the
plugging
animal.
The show. Enough plugging the show. I got to put you on hold and get back to Anthony Caputi. I'm just giving him
commercial.
A break. So.
Good commercial for your
let me,
show,
let me see if I can. Let me see if I can loosen up and be a better guest. First of all, Kathy, I can totally relate to what you went through because I had the panic attack 5 minutes before this show going, what is the number for the Breeding Animal Show? And I did my frantic Google searching. And
yeah.
The recruiting animal guest call-in number worked well on my laptop, but when I was trying to do it on my phone, it was not working well. So I understand that experience. Animal, you
yeah.
You
add to that,
up,
you'd been in a coma for 3 months,
and there was the coma.
That's about to double the freak out right there.
Okay, let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the show. Okay, let's get back. You know, I was on a video yesterday. They did a marathon, and they invited me on at the very end, at like the end of 8 hours, right? And I was thinking, boy, this is the recruiting animal. These guys were having like heavy conversations, and I felt like I was in a university lecture. I said, this is way different from the recruiting animal show. So let's get back to the recruiting animal show. Kathy, I'll check back with you every now and then. Okay, got to put you on hold. Okay,
animal.
Can
I map back to the first question you asked me, because it did bring an example to mind? You had asked me about how I would respond.
Map. Wait a minute. Is that a new business phrase? Can I map?
Map.
Back.
Map back. Go back. Is that better? Go back.
Okay. No, I pick up business tips and phrases and stuff here, and I'm gonna write that one down.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and map back to that.
Or go back. Or navigate back. So you had asked about if somebody wrote in, a reporter that said that people said that recruiters are just bottom feeders. And I'm curious what you would have done in this situation. I was on a retained search, and I messaged the candidate about an opportunity, and I disclosed who the company was in the message, and the candidate messaged back saying, hey, it sounds like an interesting opportunity, but I don't like to work with outside recruiters. I think you guys are bottom feeders, whatever language you use, so I'm just going to go ahead and apply directly to the opportunity. I gave that a couple days. I messaged the hiring manager saying, hey, this is somebody that I contacted on LinkedIn. They may have applied. Just want to give you a heads up. And the hiring manager replied back going, yep, looked at his background, could see why we would want to reach out to him. But once he sent in his full resume, he wasn't going to be the right fit. So in situations like that, would you have messaged the candidate going, hey, you should have worked with a recruiter. It could have worked out better for you? Or would you have left it alone or anything else?
I would thank God that I'm not an American with a gun, okay? That's number one, okay? Because that way I don't have to worry about controlling my temper. I don't like people like that. I would not call him back. You don't want to work with that guy. You cannot convince him or her, okay? Because I've had them do that too. They go behind my back. After I've interviewed them at length, just to be nice, even though I can tell right away, Your Honor, he's a retained recruiter, everybody. So that was a retained search. Even if you get resumes sent in from other sources, it's still your fee. Okay, so the client would send us back the resumes that people were sending in behind my back and bad mouthing me for telling them, look, I don't think you're a fit, you know. Even though I bent over backwards to be nice, I hate those people. I will not call them back. Forget about them. Although, I'll have to say, Anthony, you are a sales recruiter. Maybe you know more about good selling than I do, and you could actually turn someone around. Do you believe that you have the skills to persuade someone to do something that they didn't intend to? It doesn't sound like it.
Everything's situational. I'll get flack for that from you, Animal. But in general, I don't think I'm going to persuade somebody from doing something that they think is in the exact opposite direction of.
But here's where Jerry and I, Jerry's good, he's here. We disagree. I say a real salesperson, the sale begins when the customer says no. So sales is persuasion, okay? And in order to have to persuade someone, that means they disagree with you to begin with, okay? Now, I'm gonna guess.
This whole thing just starts to piss me off. Just picturing you having a phone call with somebody that's just trying to politely and professionally say, "No, that's not for me. You know, check with me down the road." I see you saying, "Hold on, bub. Wait a minute. That's not good enough. I need," and you're just backing these people into between a rock and a hard place. Sales is not arguing until you finally just wear somebody out through force of will. Sales is helping somebody get or attain something that's right for them. If it's not right for them, they would know and you wouldn't.
Okay, Jerry, take a look at what just happened.
I'm sure that you bug a lot of people.
Okay, take a you know what? I actually met with somebody came here. I won't mention her name. She passed through town in the summer. She insisted on meeting me. And she told me, a lot of people don't like you, but she liked me. She liked me. Huh. Okay, but here, look what happened with Anthony. Look what happened with Anthony. That was a good fit. He called the candidate up with a good opportunity. The candidate had no clue that this opportunity exists, and yet he went behind his back. Obviously, he was making a bridge. Okay, he was making a bad mistake. There's a time when you have to turn someone around. You have to say, "Look, you idiot, you're making a terrible mistake. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Think twice." Jerry, am I not right that person needed to be educated and turned around?
I would think that maybe I would explore it a little bit. I mean, I would ask somebody, where do you get that? You know, why would you say that recruiters are bottom feeders? And you only then would you understand whether it's worth trying to talk to this guy more or just realize that he's just going to be a bullheaded dude that hates recruiters. And there's one out of 10,000 people that's how they are. So I'm not up to change the world, man.
Your numbers are terrible. Michael G. Cox,
no.
I think, just signed in.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I am sure that I've talked to more than 10,000 people. And I've never had anybody tell me anything like that. So it's probably even less than that. Or maybe Anthony talked to the one guy that maybe didn't answer the phone when I called out of 10,000 times. People don't say that all the time. They rarely say that. I've never heard that directly said to me. So I've never been in a position to dissuade somebody from hating my profession. Mm. I wouldn't even care if they did. It's not my business.
Hey, Jerry.
You know? You hate me? That's cool. Moving on.
Have you found that candidates that are less years of experience earlier in their career could be more skeptical or less receptive to a recruiter call than candidates that are 10, 15, 20 years into their career and they've had enough experience with changing jobs that they see the value?
Unfortunately, I work in the IT world, and so most candidates are just tired of recruiters. They don't necessarily think that we're evil or they hate us or anything. They're just like, man, I've had 50 calls this month. That's more of what it is versus being skeptical of my call or what have you. I mean, that's just my experience. They're just tired. They're worn out. I don't think that'll be the case here in a couple of 3 months. What, animal?
Yeah, I don't.
You gonna say I didn't answer the question?
Well, the thing is, this guy, it's not like you're saying that people were battering his door down with a million inappropriate jobs. Anthony came to this guy with an opportunity that he liked and he didn't know about, okay? And he still slammed the door in his face and went, well, that's absolutely absurd.
Right.
No moral, decent person could do that.
How often has that happened, Anthony? How often has that happened? My guess
it
is
doesn't.
Once.
It doesn't happen often, but it's an example that kind of maps back to the article.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That,
I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Michael,
that guy read the article and nodded and said, this is the best article I ever read. And then he got my message, and he was like, oh, I got the perfect response to this idiot recruiter. And it didn't work out for him. That was
that, that guy's a bottom feeder, not you. And he has to be taught a lesson. Look, I've got Michael G. Cox here now. He is a sales expert, okay, on this show.
Yep.
Okay, I want to hear what he's got to say. Are you there, Michael G. Cox?
Yeah, I'm here.
No?
What's the question?
Yeah, okay. Well, wake up, okay? Do you know what we're talking about?
I should have called in, sorry.
Okay, well, here's the situation. Anthony Caputi is a sales recruiter, just like you, okay? You might want to get to know him after this show, okay?
Absolutely.
He called someone, okay, with a job that the guy actually liked and didn't know about beforehand. And he says to Anthony, I don't deal with recruiters, third recruiters. And he goes and applies for it directly to the company. So Jerry and I are arguing about sales technique. That guy was absolute proof that real sales is turning around someone who says no, okay? Isn't that proof?
Hold on. You weren't going to turn that guy around anyway. So what's the point of badgering some dickwad?
Nah.
Seriously.
Well, you know what? You don't know until you try.
Anyway.
You don't know until you try.
No,
Michael G. Cox.
No, you know. No reason to try. Move on. The guy was a dick.
Yeah.
Michael
G. I win.
The only
probably
concern
you're right
is that Anthony told this guy about the company before he could submit anything. But no, I don't think you're going to turn this guy around, and I don't think sales starts when somebody says no. You know, part of sales is trying to uncover.
We lost you. I can't hear you. Yes.
Okay, sorry. Well, I don't think sales starts with a no. That's typically where sales ends. If this guy isn't interested in working with third parties, move on.
Oh, gee whiz. But let me bring Kathy in here. She was willing to call me after the coma. Maybe she wants to support me in this. Kathy, when does the sale start? Kathy, wake up! Okay, I'm telling the wrong person to wake up, okay? I'm going to put you on hold again.
It starts way before you're having a conversation.
What starts before you're having a conversation? What are you talking about, Michael
Sales.
G. Cox?
Sales.
Well, what do you mean?
Sales starts way before then.
What does that mean?
Well, okay. You have to figure out who your market is. And let's say in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's 500 senior account executives in a specific industry that this guy wants to be able to pitch someday. He should be connecting with them last year, 2 years ago. And then it's not such a cold call when you start messaging or calling this individual. Hey, we're connected on LinkedIn. I see that you and I have interacted a few times. I'm working on this opportunity. Are you open to having a conversation to see if this might make sense for your career?
What I heard you say, Michael, and it starts before the call. By the way, congrats on going off on your own last year.
Thank you.
I took a great time, didn't I? keep at it. There's a need or a want that already exists. And when we get that person on the phone, we either uncover and develop that need or that want, or if there isn't a need or a want, we move on. And the call, I think the sale on the call itself begins when the person wants more information. They may not be interested yet, but they're not being a dickwad.
Okay,
like
here's my point. Sale begins that when they don't know that they have a need or they want, and you know. The salesperson knows better than the person he or she is trying to sell to.
That's absurd, man. God. That's so ridiculous. I'm now looking at the clock thinking I've got 36 more minutes of this crap.
Animal, that would be like...
Come on,
animal. Animal. That would be like the whole strategy of cold calling is, hey, you don't have any open jobs right now, but you should. So let's start there.
Yeah! Yeah!
You know what?
There's
a lot of recruiters who say that they are really consultants, business consultants, and they know the business.
Sure they are.
And they can call you and tell you what you need. Because they are business consultants. You're busy with your day-to-day work. They understand from a high level better than you do. Okay? So let me do an ad before we go on.
Animal.
Go
ahead. I'll rebut that. But go ahead. Do your ad.
Okay. Let me remind everybody that the Recruiting Animal Show, a new format for my ads, but the Recruiting Animal Show is sponsored by HireTool, HireTual.com, the super-duper sourcing tool that everybody is raving about. HoneIt, HoneIt.com, the online interview recording technology. It tapes the whole interview in audio, video, full transcript, and lets you make clips as well that you can pass on to the hiring manager. PCRecruiter.net, the super customizable. Michael G. Cox, what's another word for customizable?
Configurable.
Yeah, okay. The super configurable recruiting software. If you are a recruiter, PC Recruiter loves you. But how do you like that? I like that kind of ad, these little shorter ones. Okay, back to the guest. Anthony Caputi, you were going to argue with me about something.
Yeah. So I believe those consultative conversations can happen, and I believe they happen once you've already have a relationship, you've already worked with somebody. You call
right.
the VP of sales, and I can catch up with him, and I can say, how are things going? Great. How's your team? Good. How many people are reporting to you? 14. Wow, that sounds like a great-sized team. And then he says something like, well, you know, 14 is actually more than I like. I like a span of control of 7 or 8. And I said, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do about that? Well, you know, there's not much I can do about that. I said, well, what about promoting somebody up in your group? What about hiring in a manager? What about these different directions you can take? Those could lead to him creating a position or promoting somebody and then needing to backfill a position. And my approach would then have been consultative and asking him questions. But I'm not doing that on a cold call with somebody. And so I think the initial engagement – with a client is going to be more immediate need or want based, and then I'm providing information that aligns with what they're interested in, and then I deliver well on that. And through that process and through those conversations and the time, I'll be able to then uncover other needs and make other suggestions to them.
You know
but
what? You guys are not what I would call heroic salespeople. You don't have the heroic. I'm going to conquer attitude, right? I'm just a nice guy. Listen to the tone of your voice, okay? It's not – you don't have that, you know, a romantic view of sales. I don't know what else to call it, okay? let's move on to another question. So let's move on. Well, what about
during this?
By the way,
I really appreciated Anthony's rebuttal to your point.
Okay, well, thanks. That's MikeRecruiter.com. If you want to see the guy who disagrees with me, that's his LinkedIn profile, MikeRecruiter.com. Okay? And Jerry is JerryTheRecruiter.com. Okay? And I told Jerry I'd do – well, anyway, that's another story. JerryTheRecruiter.com. Okay, during this COVID crisis, how do you do business development, Anthony Caputi?
I think that you continue to call your decision maker, your head of sales, or your CEO, and you let them know what services you can provide, and you look for if there's an immediate need, or you listen for what their need might be once the economy turns back on. If we go back to the article that you'd referenced that I wrote a few weeks back, you know, the idea there was you may not have the authority or the budget or the permission to go ahead and hire right now, but you may have the budget to go ahead and be ready to hire when the economy turns back on. And I think there are going to be some business owners that see value in that and going, yes, I want to start interviewing. I want to have a short list, or I want to have a long list of candidates ready to go.
Okay, well,
hold on.
You missed my point. I understand what you're saying.
Sorry.
But hold on.
Yep.
So are you calling companies you've never spoken to before, and I want to know your words. You get on the phone. You say, hi, it's Anthony Caputi. I'm a sales recruiter. I got to tell you, there's going to be a hiring frenzy in the near future, and you want to be prepared, okay, to know exactly what you want so that – you know, when these people are coming on the market, you can grab them before somebody else does. So that's essentially what you want to tell them. Am I right? Am I understanding you?
I like that, yeah.
Okay, so how do you do it? Are you calling to people that don't know you at all?
Yes, yeah. So I'm build out a list of companies that have certain size and certain industry, and then I figure out who the CEO and who the VP of sales is, and then I call in and – to start conversations with them.
How? I want to know your exact words. What do you do? Oh, Jerry
Animal,
Crony.
Good morning. This is Anthony with Ezekiel. How have you been? The reason I wanted to speak with you this morning is relatively simple. What I have to say next will only take 2 minutes. I know you've probably talked with other recruiters in the past, but my approach, the method I use, delivers a superior result. Certainly there are times you can post a job, get lots of applicants, and not feel too concerned about who you maybe didn't get to see. However, there are other situations where you want to take a more targeted, thorough approach. This is usually the case where the open role is more industry-specific or it's linked to achievement of key business objectives like acquiring new customers or expanding existing customers or achieving certain sales targets. In these situations, other leaders have turned to me to find the best candidates. I bet you have.
Okay,
some questions.
Is that a voicemail or is that you're actually talking to a live person? Because it doesn't sound very conversational. Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of canned. Which is it?
It's conversational and it's not a voicemail.
Okay, Jerry was groaning. Jerry, got any input
there? I pictured it being a voicemail because I picture very few people actually answering the phone the first time they see a number calling in. It's just been my experience. So we are leaving voicemails.
The voicemails
are shorter.
Yeah, no, I leave shorter voicemails, and then that tends to be the connect when they call back. So I
then they call
you
back?
Yeah, when they call back.
Okay,
cool.
So you do
you
leave voicemail.
Back?
So I do leave voicemail. The voicemail might be.
That's unheard of.
Jerry, this is Anthony with Ezekiel. I'm calling because I'd like to discuss how we might be able to partner together. Can you give me a call back at this number? I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Well,
why don't you use the cell? Why don't you pitch them like you just did? Why don't you use that in a voicemail?
No, that's
Jerry
in a voicemail,
and I both sounded
animal.
What?
He
huh?
said that's in a voicemail.
No, the short one with the voicemail.
Yeah,
like
no, the longer
talks.
One. I don't think there's a lot of value in leaving a long pitch in a voicemail. I haven't gotten a good return on those in the past. I'd rather get them on the phone so that as I start to develop that script on the call, if they interrupt and if they start asking questions, that's fine. Then we can take that in their direction. But I want to give them as much information up front as possible.
You know, you sound very articulate to me, but I just can't imagine, you know, talking at length to somebody who's never talked to me before without, you know, having sort of short sentences to give, taking a breath to give them a chance to reply. Am I wrong
to
about
you,
that, anybody?
To tell you no and to shove it. That's what you're used to.
That's what he's looking for.
Like, animal like wants
Why
to stop 30 seconds
no?
in and say, you want to tell me to screw off yet?
Yeah. Anybody
that?
Else? No. Anybody got an opinion about the pitching, you know, calling up? Anybody? Michael G. Cox, you know, I have to say something. MikeRecruiter.com has a remarkably similar demeanor to our guest, Anthony Caputi. I mean, they sound like they're cousins, and they're both doing sales recruiting. I'm wondering if, you know, there's something about that, okay? I don't know. Anyway. Anything you want to say about that, Michael?
Here's
Cox?
The thing, dude. If you're calling on VPs of sales, heads of sales organizations or departments, they're going to be scrutinizing your actual pitch. And if you're asking right off the bat, dude, you're going for it too soon. And if you ask, they're going to say no because you haven't even demonstrated any value yet on that cold call. You just got to try and get them to that next little baby step.
So hold on. Are you saying that it's okay, like Anthony Caputi did, to give a one-minute speech before you give the other person a chance to reply?
Hey, if he can get away with 1 minute, that would be great. The getting away with is determining whether or not they'll actually listen to you long enough. So,
okay, but he doesn't mind if they interrupt. In fact, maybe that's your strategy, Anthony. You want them to interrupt you to give your reply. You know, that's perfect. As soon as they start talking, then say, hey, well, hold on a second, and they'll ask you something or they'll say something, and that gives you something to reply to, substantial. Am I right about that? Is that something you're actually looking for, an interruption?
I'm very comfortable with that, Animal, because the moment they ask a question, they tell me something that's important that they want to know. Or the moment they start explaining their situation, they're giving me insight into their situation, and then I can adapt from there. I think we all need to start with the script, and we need to work that script, but every conversation can take a lot of different directions, and you can't script every direction a conversation can take, because if you never talk to the person, you don't know where you're meeting them. So, yes, in short.
Okay, when you're interviewing people for a sales position, do you ask them, say, listen, I want to hear your script, I want to hear your cold call, and are you looking for them to deliver something like that to you? Do you actually ask them about their presentation?
If their position does a lot of scripted calls, then yes. I will always ask them to talk to me about their sales process and how they take a candidate, how they take a prospect from prospect to close, and I'll ask them to give me real examples. And there may be times in there where I ask them, well, what does your opening call tend to sound like?
Uh-huh. And when you say process, sales, okay, you know, there's people here who don't like the word process, okay? But what does that mean? What are you looking for when you ask for the sales process?
Yeah, I might ask them, tell me about professional training you've received in one or more sales methodologies. Which sales systems were these, and when did you receive the training? What'd you think of the effectiveness of that system and methodology? They may talk about spin, they may talk about challenger, they may talk about solution or insight selling, they may talk about baseline selling. But more interesting to me is how that training affected the way that you've developed business and sell to customers. I might ask them what's the most recent sales book that's had a biggest influence on them.
And do they always have answers? Has every salesperson, you know, could say, you know what, I read this Ogmandino and I really liked it, or I read Napoleon Hill or Dale Carnegie, or, like you said, spin selling and it transformed my life. Do they always have something to say about that?
I find, if I oversimplify, I find people are in one of two camps. Either one, they kind of go, yeah, I know a lot of that stuff, and, you know, I use some of it, and dot, dot, dot. And then I have other ones that say, hey, no, I'm really a big fan of Anthony Iorino and his dream list of clients, and I'm using that methodology right now. And I have some clients that really lean into that and want somebody that is very methodical in their sales approach. And I got others that don't, but this kind of helps me know where there could be a fit or not.
Michael G. Cox, MikeRecruiter.com, are you in line with this? Do you also ask about what books they've read and what sales processes they've learned and how they use them in their day-to-day work?
No, I mean, it has come up a few times, but no, usually I'm not asking them about books and such.
No? Okay.
Asking
somebody
questions.
Else want to say something?
Yeah.
Hello?
I mean, the questions that you ask relate to the job, you know. So if you've got a sales, if you've got a leader who is very methodical and is very, you know, driven by a particular methodology, then you want to see, and those are that's the time to ask the question, you know, what methodologies do you use? Do you believe in? Are you an individual that needs these ideologies and needs to work with these concepts, or do you just kind of work more on your instinct? And that's the question you would ask if the hiring manager is one who is really driven by a specific methodology. And the same for any other question.
Okay, but I mean, it's for instance, Anthony. Let me ask you this: are you when you're recruiting, are you using any of these methodologies? Does anyone ever ask you that in return?
No, no one's asked me that. They'll ask me recruiting methodologies that I might use, and then I'd reference Who with Jeff Smart or Hire with Your Head with Lou Adler. I can reference some of those on the recruiting side.
Who was
the
first one?
Me on the
who was the
side.
First one?
Oh.
Who was the first one?
God. Who? WHO. Jeff Smart, Randy Street.
You know, you're talking so fast and low, I can't understand you. Jeff Smart?
Yes.
Has anybody heard of him? Phil? Mike? Jerry?
No, I don't know Jeff Smart.
I never heard of him. Where is he? Where is he?
You Google him, you'll see a lot.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do an ad. Hey, everybody, I want to remind you that the Recruiting Animal Show is sponsored by HireTool.com, HireTual.com, the super-duper sourcing tool that top recruiters are raving about all over Facebook, every recruiter group. Honeit, HoneIt.com, the online interview recording technology that provides audio, video, and text, transcriptions, and clips of your interviews. Go check it out. Hone it. And PCRecruiter.net, the super customizable, and as Michael G. Cox knows, that means configurable recruiting software that's good for any kind of recruiting. PCRecruiter.net. Jerry, got any questions for this guy? I mean, he is a sales recruiter.
No.
Every recruiter should be interested in sales and how to do sales better, okay? Anything that any questions? I don't know.
I don't have any questions. No, I'm just saying you just didn't really ask any good questions today, man. So the topics have been kind of flat.
Well,
frankly, this show sucks today.
I don't think so. I don't.
He's a nice guy. Well,
I think it's pretty interesting. Okay, well, what would he ask him? How he dresses at work, or if he covers his webcam, or what kind of scheduling software he uses? I mean, is that what you want?
I don't know, man.
I think none of those things.
Just symptomatic of where we're at the moment mentally. That's why it's
flat.
I think everybody's a bit flat, you know.
Yeah, we're all bored.
Well, somebody else come up with a question then. Come on.
Hey, Anthony, I might have missed this at the beginning. What is your niche? Yes, sales recruiting, but within sales recruiting, are you just software sales, IT, like managed services, or is there a specific industry that you're going after?
So I'm not industry specific. The companies tend to be software or manufacturing product and they tend to be between $5 million in revenue and $100 million in revenue, so lower middle market companies. And I look to help fill the gap where they don't have the internal HR recruiting.
Anthony,
okay,
when
but these 5 million, those 5 million companies, aren't they going to go out of business? They don't have deep pockets?
Let's hope not, Animal.
I don't think so. I think in the world of software technology, in particular infrastructure technology, where it's mission critical, organizations are going to need that technology just as much as they ever have done, and particularly cost-saving transformation technology. Anthony, I was going to ask you a question. How do you source new customers? Where do you look for new customers in particular? Do you have a you have an approach for that?
Yeah. So one, I'll use ZoomInfo to map, to list out, to research out. These are companies that are interesting. They're the right size. They're in the right industry. Then I can figure out really quickly with Zoom who's the CEO, who's the VP of sales. I can use LinkedIn to cross-reference some of that.
How much does Zoom cost?
Zoom is very expensive, and if it wasn't for the fact that one of my clients has me on a seat, then I probably would not be using it the way that I'm using it right now. But I believe it's around 12,000, 12 to 15,000.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a large company tool.
Yeah, but if somebody gives me the tool, then I'm going to use the tool, or gives me access to the tool, I'm going to use it. And that's the same way I have access to LinkedIn Recruiter from another client that has opened the seat for me.
What sectors and industries do you think are going to fare and cope best under the current circumstances and are perhaps going to be least hit? What sectors
Yeah, go. Yeah, right now, if I look at the clients I've been working with, professional services are doing okay. I've talked to a head of sales at a Fujitsu or a CompuCom, and they'll talk about being busier than ever. In a lot of cases, companies are still outsourcing a lot, and they're going to continue to outsource, especially if they furlough to cut people or have scaled back on hiring. So professional services is a good space.
What does professional services mean? What does that mean,
services? That means that well, we're professional services as recruiters. That means that I'm going to hire somebody outside to perform recruiting or to perform software development or to perform IT development, any of those.
Okay. Hold on. I have an answer. What?
He's talking about contracting, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think to make the best way to make the difference is that if you think of software, there are companies that manufacture and develop software, and there are companies that deliver it and, you know, manage the services and managing the operation, actually do the what you would call professional services in the software world are the people that screw it in as opposed to the people that make it, the people that are integrating it.
Okay. Yeah. But here's Ed Hand. Gate came up with a recommendation about how to find business or how to find companies that are hiring in the COVID crisis. And he says, go to your favorite search engine and search on, quote, essential business listing and append your zip code in the United States. That's your postal code. This will bring up a list of businesses and industries deemed necessary to maintain minimal societal function. What do you think about that, Anthony? Is that a reasonable way to find companies that are still doing business? Essential business listing?
I read that this morning, Animal, when you posted it. I have not looked into that yet, so I haven't tried typing it in and seeing what results pop up. Have you?
No, I just read about it as well.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
What's so funny, Jerry? I've got a Facebook group. I put stuff up that I learned things. Okay. Now I have a feeling.
Ed is a great guy. But what good does a list of the beer store and the gas station in my town do me? You know what I mean? Taco Bell. Taco Bell's open. Can we all just give it a little break? Give it a little break? Seriously.
I think
Animal, I have a question. Is there any more NO?
Any more what?
Hello,
Ernie.
Ernie Moreno.
Ernie Moreno. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You're a good questioner.
Anthony, you came on the show, and I always assume that someone comes on the show because they have an important point to share. They have something new that they want to share with the people to educate us. What's your point?
Oh, Ernie, that's a good question. I was invited onto the show, so I just wanted to be
hold on.
A
Let
part
me
of
answer
the whole
Ernie's
spirit
question.
Of it.
Ernie, I beg people to come on the show.
I
got to make
$1 million.
You know something, guys? I think I finally figured this out. Animal isn't really in recruiting anymore. He is only doing this animal show, and everybody that he talks to says, hell no.
Well, no, and here's
so
what happens, Gary. Here's what happens.
His whole thing is about convincing people, and that's what he thinks sales is.
Yeah. I said no, but he talked me into it. But Ernie, Animal's got a spot coming up. What expertise can you bring on your spot?
Ernie, what kind of question would you or answer would you have liked to have heard from Anthony?
Every once in a while, you got people that are recruiters that are looking to learn that one trick, that one idea, that one process, that one, you know, this is a good idea, and I do it like. Every time I listen to a show, I'd like to get at least one thing out of it, and that's all I expect to get. So,
you've not gotten one thing out of this show. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That,
okay. We've got nine minutes left.
But I also have to believe that someone that comes on the show would like to. They would have a purpose or one thought that they say, I'd like to get this across. And so rather than asking you questions, I'm throwing it back at you and say, what one point would you like to say that has not been said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know what to do with that right now, Ernie. That's a good question.
You know what? I'll take this. I'll answer this for these. This is like, you know what? I tried those tricks as well, okay, where I don't have to know anything, and I just say, okay, go ahead, talk for an hour. That doesn't work, okay? That you're so smart, Ernie. You know, Ernie came on a few weeks ago, and he asked a bunch of good questions. I can't remember. It was with Dean, I think. Yeah, Dean DaCosta, who can talk endlessly, okay? You got lucky. You had Dean on there, okay? So now he thinks he can do the same thing with any guest. I'd be happy to have you draw them out when I'm failing. But it doesn't work like that. I got to tell you, Anthony Caputi is a very smart guy, okay, in my humble opinion. But you have to be able to lead the conversation and sort of like provide them with a multiple choice answer so they don't have to, you know, you're pulling somebody out of their daily routine. They're doing you a favor kind of coming on the show. You got to give them make it easy for them to talk, Ernie.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to tell you, Ernie, though, you sound nice and clear. I can hear you. You've got the verve in your voice. You know, I love having you call in, but it didn't work this time, okay? You're not so smart you think. You're not smarter than the recruiting animal, okay?
That I would never go there. But with Anthony, is there something you want to say? You had
Ernie, are there one or two things that you've been thinking about? Like, I wonder if I can do this better, or, gosh, maybe I should change something.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, when you're talking to a candidate, and that candidate is somebody that you kind of like call them out of the blue, and you got them on the phone.
Yeah.
What is it? What is your one line that you use at the beginning to just get the conversation going?
Give me a moment.
How about that COVID crisis, eh? Man, I've never seen anything like this before.
You're staying safe, buddy.
I hate being with that. I mean, staying safe. What are you saying?
Anthony,
no,
just let me say something.
Let me pick up on Ernie. Ernie, in the 2 minutes that we have left or whatever it is, let me pick up on
minutes.
That.
Six.
Thanks. So back was having a few calls with some VPs of sales, and a couple of the questions I started to thread in there were, hey, have you ever been in a sales mastermind group or a sales roundtable or anything like that? And I was just genuinely curious, along with what books people read, what methodologies they're subscribing to, et cetera, if they're doing that kind of format, like a business group, but for sales leaders. And a couple guys came back and they said, no, I'm not. I've thought about it and I should be. And then that led me to creating a couple sales roundtables using Zoom, like everyone else is using right now, to put them around the table so that they could talk with other sales leaders that they hadn't met before and kind of throw off their situations around, I'm dealing with furloughs, I'm dealing around with reforecasting sales, I'm dealing with these other budget issues, and I'd like to get peer-to-peer advice around this. It's very interesting to me to keep developing this because these are prospects. These are potential clients. I'm not doing business with all of them today, but it's also giving me another lead in a conversation with a VP of sales. When I'm talking with them, I can invite them into a roundtable. They can participate, and then I can position that as, well, when they do need to hire somebody, I'm in that trusted circle around them. So that's one of the questions I've asked recently, Ernie, that I've gotten some results from. And then I called a few of my friends that are recruiting either in marketing or in other areas, and I said, hey, you might want to try this too, because right now a lot of leaders in different job families and different disciplines are looking for that human contact and are looking for good stuff and that be able to talk through their issues that they might have to approach their CEO with or may have to approach their team with. And I've gotten good feedback from peers in that area as well.
There you go. But you know what? This, for me, I have to say something. Like, there's been tons of good information here. You got superstars like Jerry, Anthony Caputi, Michael G. Cox, Phil Marks calling from another country, England, okay, another continent, and they're telling you, like, Anthony gave us his pitch with his cold call, okay? We argued about what sales is involved in. You know, I don't know, Ernie. You're showing something wrong with you if you didn't get anything out of this conversation. Okay, I'm going to turn you around if I had the time, but I don't want.
Put him on the show. Put him on the show.
Yeah, Ernie could be a guest if he wants to. I beg all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, Ernie, you just have to schedule for I think July or June or something. July. Okay, let me just see if there's anything else I want to. What are your favorite tools besides Zoom? And obviously you said LinkedIn. Is there any other sourcing tool that you use?
On my Google add-ons, I use RocketReach. I use Lucia. I use, GP? Get Prospecting. So
yeah.
I use different tools to get prospect, different tools to get emails and phone numbers. I think
okay,
those
what,
are the
what
three.
Is Get Prospect? Somebody, Ryan O'Donnell, talked about that. I saw it on my Facebook group, but I didn't know what it was. What is Get Prospect?
It's another find email for this lead. It's another Chrome add-on. So I tend to cycle in different Chrome add-ons, and I try to use their free model.
And what about a scheduling tool? Do you use any schedule like Calendly?
Yep, I use Calendly for scheduling. And can I mention recruiting software, or is that
Yeah, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Okay. And then I use recruiting software I use is a company called Clockwork Recruiting. And what I like about Clockwork is it allows me to share long lists and short lists with clients. So it's a collaborative client interaction tool.
Okay. You know what? Here's a quick question. I'll save it for next time you come on. How does a sales rep figure out who the decision maker is? Because we're always told that's what we have to do. We have to talk to that person Don't waste time with the intermediaries, okay? You save that for the next few months. I want to thank today's guest, Anthony Caputi, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-C-A-P-U-T-I. He's got a biblically named company. What's it called? Ezekiel.com? What is it?
Ezekiel.com. Ezekiel means strengthen.
Strengthen. Okay. I always think of bones. When I think of Esau, the Valley of Bones, or all those bones, right? His vision, his famous vision. Okay. Phil Marks from London, MikeRecruiter.com. Ernie, is there some easy way to identify you? Ernie Marino?
Just Ernie Marino.
Yeah. That's great. Okay.
The food guy.
Use your head.
I'm a food recruiter.
MikeRecruiter.com. He didn't even know either. I had to go out and get that for him, okay? And JerryTheRecruiter.com. Hey, everybody.
I got that myself.
Yeah, you did. Okay, I didn't say
just
no,
so you
okay?
Know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just
you're
saying,
Jerry
he locked me
okay.
in with
Jerry smarter than me.
All these
I always want you to know.
Numbnuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to let that be the last two words of this show. Hey, everybody.
One score because there was no guest. Just all in all, 0 to 10, whole numbers. Dave Manister, what's your score?
5. I don't know.
I need
yeah.
to know why.
I don't know why Animal keeps on harping on you, Jerry, about that whole in-person thing. It's
jealousy.
Just such common sense. If
it's
it worked, why are you arguing with it? And it
yeah.
went on forever.
Yeah.
He's kind of turned into a hater on that, didn't he? It's kind of odd.
I think it's his personal preference. He doesn't like to meet with people, and so he assumes.
Yeah, but do we have to talk about it all the time? Please, it's dead. Let's
right.
move on.
Bill
yeah.
Borman, give me a score on the show.